Welcome to Breaking Traditions. I would like to introduce our main speakers, Linda and Will.
Hi, everybody. My name is Linda, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, folks. I put a timer on for myself so that I can support sharing time, and I'll put glasses on for myself so that I can support the aging process, and I'll open my book so that I can read the 12 traditions and remember them. I just want to start by thanking everybody for asking me to share. It's always nice to feel like you have something to offer, and when asked to give back, I always say yes. I found the topic to be a little challenging. I didn't know whether I should come up here and only share about what we do wrong in the program rather than sharing the solution as well. So I'm in a quandary, and I'm just going to speak and trust that God has a plan for me. I will say that as a newcomer, reading the traditions in the meetings made no sense to me. The words I didn't understand, and I didn't really understand the importance of what they were, until I had about 6 months clean and I was a secretary at my home group. And after the meeting one night, a gentleman came up to me and said to me in a very kind and loving way, you do realize that you're breaking the sixth tradition, don't you? And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he very nicely explained what I was doing that was breaking the tradition. And I was so grateful for his kindness and his willingness to teach me as a newcomer, and I immediately became driven to educate myself about these 12 traditions, because it does say in our literature that they are non-negotiable, right? And that they keep our fellowship alive and free, and that's some heavy words. So not a lot of things in our program are non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. Our traditions, and that we're founded on complete abstinence from all drugs. The rest is a lot of flexibility, the number of meetings I go to, how often I talk to my sponsor, where my home group is, the service I choose, how fast I work the steps, all of it's flexible. But what's not negotiable is that I understand these 12 traditions and I try to apply them when participating in Narcotics Anonymous. Bless you. Bless you. So I decide that, you know, do I want to be part of the problem or do I want to be part of the solution? And if I choose to be part of the problem, then I don't place any importance or any weight on these traditions, and I come into meetings and I act in any manner that I choose to. If I want to be part of the solution, then I try to understand these traditions and what they mean and try to be part of helping this fellowship to thrive rather than to flounder. And so our first tradition says that our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. And what that speaks to for me is the idea of unity and group stability, that if we don't have stable groups, then I can't recover. So if I want to be part of the solution, how do I contribute to a stable group? I come to my meeting on time. I sit down quietly. I stay seated for the whole meeting. I don't use my phone. I participate in sharing the message, the solution. I use clear NA language. I do a lot of things that support the unity of the group. If I want to be part of the problem, I can come into the meeting late, possibly leave the meeting early, make a lot of noise, get on my phone, share a mixed message, talk about the problem, don't provide clear NA language. There's many things that I can do to be disruptive and divisive and disunifying. How do I choose to live? So the second tradition talks about two parts, right? For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. That's the first part. And what that talks to me about is our common voice, right? That we have to, in our group decision-making, in our business meeting, which a lot of people call our group consciences, but they're really business meetings in my home group. And sometimes we come together to make a decision, and we have to get the conscience of the group. And in doing so, some people share their opinion, and everybody's voice matters. It's important that we are all equal and everyone gets to have a voice in our decision-making. And somehow a conscience of the group comes through. And it's important for me to practice prayer and to listen in the discussion and to seek that guidance, right? What is the sense of what the group wants to decide? And that ultimately, if I want to be part of the solution, whether I am in favor of what the group's decision is or not, I'm going to support my group. I'm going to not be resistant. If I want to be part of the problem, I can come back next month at the next business meeting and bring the topic up again for a revote. That can be real disunifying because it didn't agree with what I wanted to do. And that's not in the principle of unity. The second part of this tradition talks about our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And that speaks to me about leading with humility or leading by example, if you want to say that. And how am I going to do that? If I want to be part of the solution, I'm going to just practice attraction rather than promotion. I'm going to try to educate people the way that I was educated. I'm going to treat people with kindness. I'm going to be welcoming to anybody that comes in the door. I'm going to practice some spiritual principles. If I want to be part of the problem, there's many things that I can do as a leader that can come from a place of arrogance and righteousness and ego. They're very off-putting. I can put people down because they're not doing things the proper way. I can pass judgment on people. I can be very, very discounting of people's participation or their lack of participation. And that's not part of the solution. So what is my choice? It always comes down to freedom of choice, right? How do I want to live, and what principles do I want to apply, and what type of person do I want to be in all of these traditions as we go through? I have a little cue here that says I have a quote from tradition 3, so I'm going to have to look at this piece of paper. But this third tradition talks about the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. And what that speaks to me about is simplicity. We have one requirement, and it talks about desire. And desire, it's so interesting that it's our only requirement. It's not measurable. It's not visible. The only desire that I know about is my own. I desire my seat in every meeting that I go to. My pain has been great enough, but I cannot assess your desire. Whether it's your first meeting, whether it's your 25th relapse, regardless of your experience, how you share, how you don't share, how you participate or you don't participate, I do not have the ability to measure your desire. In the guiding principles, it states, membership begins with desire, but doesn't end there. So that tells me that while desire is the only requirement, my membership requires more than that. I can't expect your membership to require more than that, but my membership requires a lot more. I go to meetings regularly. I have a sponsor. I practice the principles found in the steps. I give back through service. I participate in a home group. There's a lot of things that I do as a member, but it begins with my desire to stop using. And I don't get to pass judgment on other people. And so I practice having an open mind, and I practice patience, and I welcome people back. And I try to be respectful. And at the same time, we are each other's eyes and ears. And if you come into my home group for the 40th relapse, I might share my observations with you. I might share with you in a kind and loving way some things that you might choose to do differently. Because I don't want people to die from the disease of addiction. So I, at the same time, while I can't measure your desire, I don't choose to enable either. So our fourth tradition talks about each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. I'm just going to stop. I feel like this is school, right?
This is great.
School teacher, but this is a text. You know, this is like you know, the inner workings, and I apologize if that's what it sounds like. So that was four. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole, and this speaks to me about using sound judgment, right? This idea that while we have to, we get group autonomy, we also have to think of NA as a whole. And so I have to balance autonomy with responsibility. And how do I do that? If I want to be in the solution, I make sure that maybe we just read approved literature in the meeting, and that we start the meeting on time and we end the meeting on time, and that we make group choices about the length of the meeting and whether we want to give out key tags, or maybe we want to give out chips, or maybe we want to serve tea, or we don't want, we want to give out bottle. How do we want this meeting to run? And as long as we make all of those decisions in support of NA as a whole, we're golden. But if we start making choices that are disruptive to NA as a whole, and we want to be part of the problem, we participate in behaviors like reading unapproved literature. That's a good one. We have a meeting where we want to read literature that we want to read, not the approved literature in Narcotics Anonymous. We affiliate ourselves with outside organizations. We donate to outside organizations. We don't participate in the fund flow. We take positions on outside issues. There's lots of things we can be and do in our group autonomy, that can be very irresponsible for NA as a whole. Do I want to be part of the problem or part of the solution? Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. This speaks to me about providing an atmosphere of recovery, right? Our message is hope, and the promise is freedom. We hear our message in almost every meeting we go to, that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. We also hear that the newcomer is the most important person. A lot of people say that and end the sentence. There's a lot of valuable stuff behind that. It says, because we can only keep what we have, those of us that are here before the newcomer, by giving it away. And so this tradition talks to me about my responsibility as a predecessor in providing a message of recovery and providing an atmosphere of recovery so that the newcomer can learn how to stay clean and what being clean is about and what Narcotics Anonymous has to offer. If I sit silently in the meeting, every meeting that I go to, and all of my other predecessors do, and we allow only the newcomer to share, we hear nothing but the problem, for they have no experience, strength, and hope in Narcotics Anonymous. So I have an obligation to set an atmosphere of recovery in this tradition. That doesn't mean I have to share in every meeting. It just means I shouldn't be silent in every meeting, too, right? And that I should share my experience, strength, and hope and focus solely on the atmosphere of recovery. It's not about group therapy or how my day was. It's about an atmosphere. Does the newcomer hear from me everything that they need to know when they leave that one meeting that they've come to and have all of the information necessary to stay clean tomorrow? Do they know to go to 90 meetings in 90 days? Do they know we have a basic text, they should read it, et cetera, et cetera? Am I giving them those tools in my sharing, in providing an atmosphere of recovery? Do I want to be part of the problem or the solution? The sixth tradition says, and this one's a lot of gobbledygook. Let's, like, hold on to our seat for this one, right? It says a lot of words, a lot of dictionary definitions are coming, right? An NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. So what that talks about is what not to do, why we don't do it, and what will happen if we do, right? So we don't endorse. That means we don't sanction, we don't recommend, we don't approve. We don't finance, we don't give money to. We don't lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. That means that we don't use NA as part of another entity's services. So those related facilities are treatment centers, detoxes, clubs, etc., right? And those Outside enterprises are religious entities and fellowships. And when we begin to be diverted from our primary purpose with all of those other things, and we begin to mention external facilities by name, and we make reference to actual religions, and when we mention fellowships by name, we are diverted from our primary purpose. So this tradition is about focus. Let's remember that we focus on our primary purpose, and all will be well, right? The seventh tradition talks about every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. It's about independence. It's how we maintain our freedom, right? We pay our own way. We pay our own way as groups, and I pay my own way as a member. I make sure I go to the bank. I get my cash out of the ATM. I bring it to the meeting, and I put it in the basket. I don't say I only use credit cards. I know I'm going to a meeting. I know it's part of my daily routine, my weekly routine, and I come to the meeting prepared to participate in the fund flow, for we are self-supporting. I manage my monies responsibly, and I hope that my group manages its monies responsibly, and I participate in those discussions at my group business meeting. The eighth tradition talks about two parts. Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. It doesn't say we remain unprofessional. It says we remain forever non-professional. That means we're not psychiatrists, we're not attorneys, we're not medical advice. We're simply one addict helping another, which is without parallel. This speaks about equality. It also says our service centers may employ special workers. That's the second part. That talks about employment. We're fortunate enough here in this region that we have a regional service center, and we understand that we have to employ people to have that wonderful opportunity to have a service center in our backyard. The quote that I have notated here is from our basic text. It says, our special workers, on the other hand, work within our traditions and are always responsible to those they serve, to the fellowship. Sometimes we get confused and think that they're just employees and that those special service centers don't follow our traditions. Tradition 9, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. This is about communication, right? This is simply about, you know, we say we shouldn't be organized. That's talking about management and control and things like that. We can practice organizational skills, but we simply carry the message in our group, and we have service boards and committees to provide services. We have a convention committee that provided this service of this wonderful convention that we get to participate in. Tradition 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name won't ever be drawn into public controversy. This is about clarity and simplicity. The NA is a, quote, NA is a program of complete abstinence, and it works in the lives of countless addicts around the world. Recovery is possible for any addict who chooses to follow our way. We have a single purpose, a single promise, and a simple message. That's pretty powerful, right? Pretty powerful. So that's about, we don't get involved in whether we want to be, do we care about needle exchange? Do we care about Suboxone and drug replacement? Do we care about mental health issues? Do we care about drug court? No, we don't care about any of that. Those are all outside issues. We care about simply carrying our life-saving message of Narcotics Anonymous. All of those things we can individually have opinions about, but Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion about them whatsoever, and it's dangerous to pretend that they do. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. This to me speaks about self-control and goodwill, right? Do I want to be part of the problem or part of the solution in this? If I want to be part of the solution, I'm going to act in accordance with our public relations policies. I'm not going to put my face on a bus next to the NA symbol. I'm not going to go on TV, say I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I have X amount of time clean, and this is the best place for you to come. I remain anonymous, right? And it's very, very important because clean time is not guaranteed, and we don't represent. Scary. The quote for this tradition is, goodwill is best exemplified in service. Proper service is doing the right thing for the right reason. So simple, right? I want to have an attitude of goodwill. I want to simply live by these principles. I want to be an attractive member of the program and not be a person. I don't need to promote this. It promotes itself by people who live clean. And lastly, the 12th tradition. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. This speaks to me about equality, the practice of confidentiality, discretion, speaks to me about discretion. Ding, ding. Thank you, God. And so what I do in this tradition is I practice reminding myself about the first tradition, that I need to be unified, that all of us are equal. Whether we have 40 years or 40 days or we're not clean yet, we are all equal, and we all get to contribute, and we all have a message to share, and it all needs to be heard. And I have to always place the principles before personalities. And that doesn't mean only who you see here, what you hear here, let it stay here, 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 here. It means look at the principles when people share, regardless of who they are, whether I like them, whether I don't like them, whether I know them, whether I don't know them, that I'm going to look at the principles completely. So, thank you so much for letting me share. And now it's Will's turn. Oh, you're taking your coat off.
Thank you, Linda.
Come on.
Hi, family. I'm an addict named Will.
Will.
What a different contrast of speakers this is about to be. you know, first of all, I want to thank Tammy and the committee for the wonderful job that they did, and I want to thank them for asking an addict like me to come down from, you know, down the highways and the byways from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to hopefully share a message with y'all. And I'm talking about, like, you know, when I got the message, like, I got the message from a guy who, like, without a vendor's license, sold Narcotics Anonymous clothes at conventions, you know what I mean? And then he calls me because he can't do it, and he says, you know, and all right, so what's the topic? Well, violating traditions. So I'm like, the fuck? That's your topic. You know? Because that's what ego told me. I don't violate traditions. You know? So then after I get a hold of Tammy and we become friends on Facebook because I didn't know Tammy, right? You know, so then she posts the flyer for this convention on Facebook and tags me in a post. And I'm like, ain't this a bitch? So then I go and untag myself from the tradition violation that Tammy proceeds to give me. You know what I mean? So y'all want me to speak on tradition violations. This is where we're at, right? So, but thank God the 12th tradition talks about anonymity being the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, right? Because, like I told you, listen, Linda, we are different. We are different, but we're the same, right? And I say that because, like, you know what I mean? I had to pull some. Listen, at any given moment, because the disease didn't give a shit about I came down here to share on violating traditions, right? The disease didn't care nothing about that, right? The ego said they need me to come down here and share. But when I walked through the door, the disease jumped on me. Right? And I was so out of place. Because sometimes, like, it ain't always about. Like, sometimes, like, it talks about we, our members find a place where we belong, man. Now, sometimes I don't feel like I belong. You know what I mean? And when I walked in, like, listen, I'm trying to tell you, man, I ain't never seen no dude with no guitar singing. That's not my story. It made me uncomfortable, Frank. You know what I mean? I felt like I was in an environment that wasn't conducive to me. The fifth tradition talks about at any given moment, any of us become the addict who needs that message carried to them. Right? And in that moment, I was that addict. The one that you guys asked to come and speak. I needed to hear the message. You know, and I remember, and I don't know what the fuck it was about Frank and Frank. You know what I mean? I know that the Frank's Red Hot commercial says I put that shit on everything. I came up in here and was struggling, and Frank and Frank, like, I ain't never met Frank a day in my life. Meanwhile, our whole fucking circle's in cahoots. I ain't never met him a day in my life, but I remember, like, I just pulled him up, man. Like, listen, I feel out of place. I'm talking about the exact date. I said, I ain't never seen that many white people at a convention before in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to tell you, I suffer from a dis-ease that tries to separate me. The traditions talk about none of us. Like, and listen, we just got done celebrating a great man's birthday, and it's an outside issue, but I'm talking about the principles behind the dream that we fulfill here in Narcotics Anonymous, that an addict, any addict, right? Our literature talks about it doesn't matter what color you are, what religion, lack of religion, creed, you know what I mean? That we're all created equal here, man. You know, so I'm talking about like, you know, I ain't even talking about, listen, I spent all the seventh tradition before. I can sit up here and talk about how, you know what I mean, that I've done everything. I'm talking about being in a home group. See, because, like, ego will say, like, because I ain't never did nothing right, y'all. I'm the attitude who they said in Baltimore, like, you are going to be just like your father. You're going to be a piece of shit just like him. I ain't never did nothing right. So when I come in here, we talk about, we don't come in here brimming with honesty, open-minded, and willingness. I didn't come in here and sound perfect. It's not my story. And if you say that it's not conducive to following our message, I'm trying to tell you that I have changed through the process. So don't tell me it ain't our message. Because my change and your change can be two different things. Because, listen, Biggie said it was all a dream. That's what Towson was for me. I'm talking about the Less Than Terrorist Projects had me in the slums. No, nothing about no Towson. That's not my story. But we always want to put handcuffs on how somebody's supposed to share their experience, strength, and hope through the shit that they got through. And we sit up here and we say it all nice and shit and dress it up, but it's really judgment. I don't care how you dress it up. Whenever we censor or dictate and tell somebody how they're supposed to give the message, that is judgment. Mm-hmm. But what I know about the God of my understanding, and thank you guys for introducing me to that, because when I was being molested at 6 years old, there wasn't no God that I could understand, Frank. But thank God for you guys. And thank God for the humility in the God that not only do I understand that you introduced me to, but had enough humility to understand me. Understood the trauma that I had gone through. Understood how to meet me. Ed? Meet me where I was. That's how he brought y'all into my life. To introduce me to what he had for me. The 11th step talks about God is maneuvering things in our life far before we ever realize it. Right? So I'm talking about never ever doing anything good. So now you expect me to come into a group conscience and I'm supposed to just be perfect now? Nah. I'm making the coffee, I'm setting shit up, I'm doing this, but I ain't never had no guidance. Dad spent 33 years in the Maryland State Penal System. He being knifed up and for Jessup all his life. You know what I mean? I ain't had no dad. My mom and dad were both heroin addicts. You know what I mean? The Corners raised me. The ones they made the TV show about. You know what I mean? But you expect me to be perfect now that I come into a group conscience? So nah, so if you ain't doing everything like me, I'll vote you the fuck out the home group.
Get out.
You gotta go. And then members come in, you know what I mean? But this is how I learned. I learned through trial and error, Tammy. I ain't learned by doing this thing perfect. And I mean, if you did, like, damn. Show me the way. And I said, that's how I got through this shit, man. That's how I learned. I came down here thinking that y'all needed me to share. Y'all didn't need me to share. I needed y'all. I needed this. You know what I mean? I needed that one-on-one, Frank. I needed that, brother. See, and I understood that. I listened to the God of my understanding when I walked through the door. I seen how the dis-ease was trying to isolate me from y'all. I seen how it tried to act like that I was something different than y'all. So I pulled up another addict. You want to get through the dis-ease? Pull up another addict. Let the therapeutic value. Now, when he first said something to me, that ego jumped back in. Who the fuck are you talking to? But then I sat there and I felt the spirit. And instead of walking away from him, because I turned around and wanted to walk away from him. You know, and God said, nah, man, let that man speak. Let God speak through him. Right? You know, because I'm talking about all this thing so I can make y'all understand that there was a point where I went through a separation back in my hometown, and you know, the group had started to isolate me. The group didn't want me around because they were starting to pick sides. They were taking sides, and they were on her side. They liked her because she sounded a lot like you, Linda. She was real soft-spoken, and she smiled. You know what I mean? And nobody knew that, like, behind closed doors, she would set me up to look like the asshole, right? Because she knew that I was loud and she knew that I was aggressive. And she had been to Baltimore, so she had looked at everybody that didn't look like us and was like, fuck that, get me out of here, right? And she used that against me, Ed. You know what I mean? So one time they making fun of me as I'm sharing at the meeting, her and another dude, they making fun of me. And when I was sharing at the meeting, and so I stopped. I said, go ahead, I'll wait till you're finished. You know what I mean? And what everybody didn't see is she waited behind the steps. She waited behind the steps. So then, right as I shut the door and we're outside and everybody's standing across in the alley smoking cigarettes, you know what I mean? She tells me, don't you ever embarrass me like that again. And I said, who the fuck are you talking to? And she jumps back and cowers in the corner. And I look over across the street and everybody from the meeting is staring. And I went, well played. But nobody could hear the conversation because they were too far away. Right? So I need to tell y'all that there was points where everybody was going out. See, and we talk about no addict left behind, right? But then we talk about you can't come in here unless you've got that on. This whole damn setup has been a violation. Right? So I say that because I watched them invite everybody who was with me to the meeting after the meeting, Frank. And they said, no, because we're with Will. And I watched her look at me and go, oh. Not my ex. The others. The group. Right? So I'm talking about, we talk about pain shared as pain lessened, right? That's what we talk about in here, right? We talk about don't take it with you, Frank, right? But then we tell people that's not conducive to the meeting, right? And we talk in circles a lot here because we let our personal opinions, Billy, of how you're supposed to share influence how we're supposed to hear. So are we in tune to listen to your pain, or are we in tune to tell you how you're supposed to tell us about your pain? Right? So I share that because, like, you know, the God of my understanding has me in position, Frank. It has me in position, even when I don't know that it has me in position. Because the ego says, I came down here to share for you, Tammy. Right? But the God of my understanding said, you came down here to hear the message. Because when you're up there, you're carrying the message. Because that individual that was inviting everybody had relapsed. Right? And the girl, another girl who had told my girlfriend, once, you know, be careful with him, he's got a temper, right? She relapsed. So does God got you in position, Will? Or are you still led by the ego, Tammy, right? So they come back as newcomers. And there ain't no women with clean time in my area. So what you gonna do, Ed? You gonna hug him. You gonna tell him you love him. You gonna tell him it's okay. It's not okay to keep getting high and take the chance of your loved ones growing up without their people. But it's okay, you made it back. And I'm gonna love you through this. So now I'm the one getting all the amends. And that's not what I did it for, Linda. I did it because God told me it's the right thing to do. The traditions told me that, like, this is a place, Billy, where you can heal. It is my duty to show you the love and concern that Narcotics Anonymous told me to give. Not what the projects, not what the Lexington Terrace projects that I grew up in taught me. Not the non-existent virtues of what men are supposed to look like, right? You know what I mean? But how to love another human being, especially a man, right? Once again, I think, because I heard God speak to me, Ed, it said, leave the meeting and go call your sponsor. So once again, I think I'm being led by God to go do something. I get outside the meeting. There's a young man out there with 30 days clean crying his eyes out. I hug him. I never met him before in my life. You could tell he was reluctant to hug me. I hugged him. He started to just break down. The tears was coming. And he started to let go. And when he did, I said, absolutely not. And I held on to him. And I said, I'm not letting you go. Because I knew in that moment that God had me here for a reason. And it wasn't the ego that I thought that led me here. But it was to be of service. And to get my spirit filled again through you guys so that I can go back where I'm obligated to be the predecessor and find a new way to live. Because at any given moment, each and every one of us, everything can be dropped tomorrow. You know what I mean? You think a new way to live is having to come back from a relapse. But what about when your significant other walks out on you? What about when the car gets repoed? What about when a job gets repoed? What about when the eviction notice comes. I'm talking about, this is my experience, man. Everything that I shared with you is shit that I've done and gone through. I didn't pick nobody else apart. Not all day, did I, Frank? I ain't do nothing but put a hit on my disease. Because my disease ain't got no goddamn membership to no gym. It ain't out there doing no push-ups, right? You know what I mean? I'm not putting no hit on no disease of addiction, because I'm under no illusions. It's only through God's grace and mercy that my disease has been arrested. Right? And I give all glory to you guys, not to God of my understanding, because without y'all, I never got introduced to him in the first place. Because if you saw the dereliction that I saw growing up down there in West Baltimore, ain't no way you could tell me that it was a God of my understanding. So I thank you guys genuinely for introducing me to one that understood me. And I thank the committee for allowing me to share. And I'll share this and I'll shut up. So I was born in 1977, right? And in the 70s, right, there was this group. My last name, I'm going to break my anonymity. My last name is Sly. And in the 70s, there's this group called Sly and the Family Stones. And they had a number one hit, right? And went a little something like this. I want to thank you for allowing me to be myself again. Thanks for allowing me to share.
You stop.